Welcome to the Faith Element Podcast for the December 25th, 2016 session, focusing on Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, Generous Giving. I'm David Cassidy.
I'm Nikki Hardiman.
I'm Bert Montgomery.
I'm Darian Duckworth.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Merry
David.
Christmas.
How often do we get to record, you know, an episode for Christmas Day? That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty rare, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm curious, are your churches having services on Christmas?
Mine actually is not. Because it's a college town, we did a survey and almost everybody's going to be gone.
Mm. Yeah.
So the few that are here have been encouraged to go to other local congregations,
mm-hmm.
which is fine with me because they actually told me months ago I should go home for Christmas.
That's great. Aww,
thank you. I will.
Good. Yeah.
We are having a Christmas Day service and I can't help but laugh because they told me that there is a tradition that the children wear their pajamas to the Christmas Day service. Now, I guess this is a tradition that only happens every 6 years since Christmas Day only falls on Sunday every few
right.
years. So anyway, I'm wondering if all of us could wear our pajamas to church. That would be fun.
I think that's a definite plan. That's awesome.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, our church will have a service. It'll be in our what we call the great room. It's kind of like our fellowship hall. We won't be in the sanctuary. And the children actually will wear pajamas as well,
mm-hmm.
or welcome to if they wish. And we sometimes have adults show up.
In pajamas.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I'm liking this idea.
So it's very, very casual, because I remember we last had one of these. It was a lot of fun. I hope you are safe this year if you're traveling and that you have a very wonderful Christmas. And the same for our listeners.
Yeah.
So for us, it's going to be our family. It's going to be an interesting Christmas because both we have two children and both of them are married this year. And so we will have both of the new couples, the newlyweds, with us for Christmas this year. It'll be our year to have them. So we're very excited about the beginning of this new tradition for us. Well, Darian, we're awfully glad that you're back with us. It's been a little while, but we're always glad to have you back on the podcast.
Thanks. It is always good to be back with you guys, and especially to talk about Christmas falling on a Sunday. So
I know, right?
Yes, with Titus.
Yeah, of all things, Titus. Well, in case this is your first time to hear Darian, let me give a little bit of introduction for her. She is the pastor at the First United Methodist Church of West Point, Mississippi. She's a graduate of Vanderbilt University and Emory's Candler School of Theology. And I believe you're back to school now again, aren't you?
Yes, I am in the Doctor of Ministry program at McAfee School of Theology. So,
yay!
That's great.
The first semester went beautifully. So let's see how that. Let's see what I'm talking about a year from now and how well it goes. But but first semester has gone really well. Really enjoying being back
That's
in academia.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, Darian, since you're back with us, I wonder if you might help us figure out this. Why are we talking about Titus on Christmas Day?
I will certainly try with your help and with the Lord's. Let's let's embark on Titus together. So, are we there yet? At some point in our lives, most of us have either asked this question or rolled our eyes as the answerer of the question. A long or seemingly long road trip causes us to wonder how many more miles or minutes await until we reach our destination. For today's episode, we can finally declare we're here. Unbuckle those seat belts, fling open the car doors, and run to the place for which we've watched and waited. Christmas Day. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is with us. The long journey to Bethlehem across the years of prophets and exiles has led us to the mystery of God's birth. So, now what? It's time to celebrate with our little brother Titus. Titus is a New Testament letter that often gets grouped with his two older, more frequently quoted brothers, the Timothys, as the pastoral letters. But the letter to Titus holds his own with a big message. Salvation is here. The author uses all of our favorite words in this passage: goodness, loving kindness, mercy, rebirth, renewal, grace, hope, eternal life. It's one of those passages like John 3:16 or Jeremiah 29:11, just longer and in the proper context, that many would deem appropriate for painting on canvas in big loopy letters and hanging on the wall as art. We like these words. These are good words. They make us feel great. They're the right words to describe the salvation that Jesus Christ brings. Yet the letter reminds us that it is not our right words, quote unquote, or righteous works that earn us salvation. Instead, we are recipients of a rich gift through Mary's Son. What are we to do with such generosity? The weeks leading up to Christmas Day often see an increase in charitable giving. More donations appear in the bank accounts of struggling nonprofits. Churches are able to pay bills that have backed up because the offering plates are fuller than usual. Giving and receiving abound as we receive the gift of Christ. But what are we to do next? Where do we go from here? The letter to Titus reminds us that the good news of salvation extends beyond Christmas Day. There is good work for us to do because of the God work that Christ has done for us.
Darian, that was an excellent, excellent introduction.
Oh, thank you. It was fun to write. This is always fun to do.
Yeah.
You know,
something different.
No, I always think what I love about Scripture is, yeah, when I sat down and realized, oh, we're doing Titus for Christmas, I grumbled. I'm not going to lie. I was kind of irritated. I was looking forward to a good gospel text. And but what I really love about Scripture is it's all valuable. Like, even the books that we don't look at very often, even the ones that are really hard, there's something in it. And I really appreciate people who can help pull that out like you did today. That is good. It's so true. This generosity of God is one of those things that seems like such a simple concept, but the more that you think about it, the harder it is to grasp and understand. At least that's the way that it is for me.
So what is generosity?
Mm-hmm. That's a big question. With a big answer.
It just seems so obvious, but is it?
Well, if you look it up on Google, it says the quality of being kind and generous. It's not helpful at all.
Quality of being, thanks Google. Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Google.
You know, when I hear that word, I have a personal experience with a seminary professor, a legend in church history and Christian mysticism and Christian spirituality, Dr. Glenn Hinson. I had the honor, the privilege, although I didn't recognize it at the time, of studying under him at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary when I was straight out of college in my very early 20s. And then when I went back to seminary as an older adult, 15 years later or something, I had him again at the Baptist Seminary of Kentucky. And then I was trying to better appreciate what I had. I had taken a church history course with him my first time around at Southern Seminary, and I made a C. I wasn't all that engaged at seminary at that time. There were other things going on, which is why I left. And so I retook church history again, retaking it at Baptist Seminary, Kentucky. They didn't want to transfer in a C, go figure. And so I had Dr. Glenn Hinson again. And this time around, interesting thing, I had him for two semesters of it. And one semester, I got hung up, had surgery, some bad things were going on. And I got behind, took an incomplete, and then I started the next semester with church history too. But I still owed him this paper from the previous semester. So I had an incomplete, but they had let me go ahead and start the second semester. And the second semester was winding down, and I was getting that class done very well. But I had this incomplete hanging over my head from the other one. And Dr. Hinson sat down with me and said, look, what'd you make in the other class? I said a C back at Southern Seminary. And I'd done so much work up to this point in the other class, but I just owed him a paper. And he said, if you're going to get hung up to the point that we can't go any farther with your education and stuff, you've done enough work to raise that C to a B. So I'll just give you a B and call it over with. Although if you want to keep going, I would like a paper from you. I think you can get an A. And I went, no, I think I'll take that B. Thank you very much. So I didn't turn that paper in. He gave me a B based saying that I picked up enough work to lift up my previous grade from the other seminary, right? And then I finished with the semester of the second semester and stuff like that. And that, it bothered me for a while because I felt like, you know, I didn't earn it. But then I thought, well, I kind of did a little bit, but still. But the more I had Dr. Hinson, I had him as many classes as I could take at Baptist Seminary of Kentucky with him for a variety of things. And it wasn't just me, it was other students. He, as you meet older folks who've had him for, you know, 30 years ago and 40 years ago, there was something about him that he he invested his life in his students and in giving them what they needed to keep going, rather than viewing education as a legal, I mean, you did have to work and he would give you a grade, but that was sort of a bureaucratic way of doing things. He saw beyond that, and he would give you what you needed of himself, his time, his knowledge. If you felt like you were getting the gist of it, merely filling out some bureaucratic requirement wasn't all that big of a deal to him. Mm. So there was something about that. He was just very generous in that sense. And I saw him do it with so many other students that freed us up to become more of what we could be than being hung up with a very legalistic way of looking at academics. That has helped me with my understanding of God and grace, with that personal experience with Glenn Henson. When this text of Titus is talking about God being generous, that's my personal experience that I bring to this. And it's okay, I think I can imagine what this means because of my experience with Dr. Glenn Henson.
So is generosity then being gifted something that one doesn't necessarily earn or deserve? Although you may have well deserved the B, you took the course twice, but
yeah.
But I'm trying to get what. So what have we? What is it about generosity?
There's something about your story that's helpful for me, Bert. And so if you'll let me fumble through this for a second, I think a lot of times we look at generosity. I think, David, yes, I think your definition, being given something that you don't deserve, is one definition of generosity. But I think a lot of times we can take that definition of generosity and look at it negatively. Like, so then it becomes a negative thing that, oh, well, you're just getting a handout or you're just getting a freebie of some kind. But from what I never had, the gift of being able to sit under Glenn Henson, but I know a lot of people who have. And from everything that I know of them, Dr. Henson was an incredible teacher and demanded a lot from his students, and they learned and they worked hard. So his generosity did not prevent his students from working hard and learning. In fact, it sounds like his generosity caused them to try harder.
Yes.
And so to me, there's something else that balances the gift that comes from generosity. And I think that that's true of God, though I'm not quite sure how to say it. So I'm going to ask all of you to reflect on what I'm kind of feel like I'm fumbling with here. But generosity is not like a handout. It's something else. But I'm not really sure how to define that.
I may be fumbling through this too, but as I listen to Bert's story and Nikki, as I'm listening to your reflection, when I think about generosity, it's not so much about what someone is giving and what someone is receiving as much as there's this openness of working together, like giving of space and time. And in that gift of space and time to complete your assignments, to discover who you are, to, you know, pursue this path of knowledge, and giving that openness without all of the restrictions, that's not just being generous in terms of giving you the space and time, but it's being generous to help you discover who you are. And I don't know, just that word openness keeps coming to me. The idea of no agenda. A lot of times I think when we think about generosity, or at least I know in my context in the local church, if I were to ask members of my congregation, what is generosity to you? Their mind would be, and their first response would probably be giving more money to the church, giving more money to missions, giving more effort. And that is part of it, but it's just one part. The generosity of God is not limited to funds. I think that what you're talking about with Dr. Henson is about a space and time thing, and it's an eternal quality. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to describe, but it's something definitely to be valued and appreciated, that it's not just about the giving and receiving. It's about the opening oneself up to what could be.
Yeah. And I like that. The openness and the working together that you mentioned. And Nikki, you mentioned the term handout. And I remember wrestling with this when Dr. Henson first made that offer to me to just give me a B if I wanted to take it. He would like me to finish the paper and get an A. And I remember wrestling with it because I remember thinking, but I'm technically not completing the requirements for this course at this seminary. And that bothered me. And when we were talking before the recording started, Darian mentioned having a coach in her PhD, D-Min program. And one of my, we didn't call him a coach, but a mentor at the seminary at the time was questioning me about this and helping me work through this. And he said, so you're not able, this handout is, I'm trying to justify for me that I'm doing what I have to do to earn something. Because I didn't want to just take something from Dr. Hinson. And that language, a handout, taking something without earning, I was fighting my ability to accept his gift that he wanted to give me. Because I didn't want a handout, you see. So this doing it together, Darian, when you said that we're working together, this openness to work together, to create, to become, really resonated.
Well, and Bert, I mean, what you're referencing, you know, Darian, you ended your earlier comments about this passage in Titus by saying, what are we to do with this kind of generosity? And, you know, it's as if Titus is calling us to that it is a relationship, that it is an openness. It takes both parties. Well, I mean, what does generosity do to us? What does it call from us?
Yeah, I'll stop with this story in a second, but you know what I think it was you, Darian, that said it brings us, it demands more. Maybe it was Nikki. The interesting thing is that in accepting this gift from Dr. Hinson, I became a more determined student, a better student, not just for him, but in my other classes. And through his openness at that point, it began to open other doors. And that's how I ended up with some of the books that I've written came or were seeds that started in writings I was doing for Dr. Glenn Hinson and others after that point, that I probably wouldn't have done had I been so focused on following the rule to get what I need. And the idea of salvation, we talk so much about grace and we talk so much about God's generosity, and it's because of God's goodness and loving kindness, Titus says, not because of anything I've done. But look at how we talk and act in our churches and listen to, I mean, nevertheless, we still have that hang up of, but we deserve what we're getting. We're working hard. We're going to church. We're paying our tithe. We're not doing this and this and this and this. You see, so we still get that, yeah, but I've earned it kind of a thing.
There are two things that occur to me. One, when God or a person is able to offer generosity, the person offering generosity has great faith in the people to whom the generosity is offered. I think that there is kind of a sense of, this is a good place to put my generosity. And I don't know that that has to be true all the time, but I think that to live a generous life, we have to have hope in one another or a belief that ultimately people are going to respond well. But I think a deeper foundation than that is that in order to live a generous life, we have to believe that there's always going to be enough. That if we give away whatever it is that we are giving, that there's always going to be enough. If you have to earn something, there is what's the economic, I was terrible at microeconomics, but there's the supply and demand.
Supply and demand.
Right? Yeah. So like if we can do something to earn it, so who does the most to earn something, they get whatever there is to get. And the idea is that things can run out. But I think that when we give things generously, the only way we can do that is the idea there's just always going to be enough, whatever it is we're being generous with, right? If we're being generous with our material possessions, we just trust that we're going to be cared for. If we are giving away love or kindness, we believe there's just always enough love and kindness to go around. And I think because this passage that we're looking at of God's generosity God is the source of all of those things. So, of course, God has a sense of abundance about those characteristics. I don't know. What do you think of, what do you all think about that?
I love what you're describing as like this deep and abiding trust. You know, thinking back over the weeks of Advent leading up to Christmas Day and the journeys we've taken back with the prophets and with John, you know, John the Baptizer saying, this is what's coming, this is what's going to be. And yet there were all these thousands of years of people, you know, just trusting that what God says God's going to do, God's going to do. And now we've arrived at Christmas Day where we celebrate God fulfilled that promise in Jesus Christ. And if God has done that, then what do we have to fear? What, you know, what is there that we can lack? One of the things that I love so much about Christmas Day is that there's just the sense that anything is possible, whether you're young or whether, you know, whether you're a young child, you know, opening your gifts under the tree or not. There's just the sense that everything's going to be okay and that everything is okay because of this world that you're in that comes with Christmas. Even people who don't, I was reading an article the other day where it was talking about even people who don't believe in Jesus are singing about Jesus this time of year, you know, in the places we least expected. There's something about the day that just gives us a lot of hope and peace. And there's just this deep sense of, like I said, trust is the word that keeps coming back to me, that the giver of all of this grace and all of this loving kindness and everything that Titus is talking about is going to give us everything that we need when we need it, even after Christmas is over and we go back to the reality of what's next.
Well, once again, I thank you all for this great conversation. It is a time of year when generosity is something we hopefully experience and remember in those who have been generous with us in the past, and how that has shaped us and inspired us to hopefully be more generous people. And maybe this Christmas can be one that lasts longer, because probably this world we live in now is a place where the abundance of generosity is something that's going to be very much needed.
Yes.
Amen. Well, thank you all, and have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, David.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, David.
Find more information about this podcast, as well as videos and teaching resources for this session, at faithelement.net. Subscribe to the Faith Element podcast on iTunes. Faith Element is a service of Faith Lab.